we're trying to create people who are a force to be reckoned with, who don't just know what they believe, but they know why they believe it. They can defend it articulately, passionately, and without backing down. Not being a jerk, but certainly not letting down.
Their truth and their core political belief is their religion. And they are so adamant and passionate and emotional about it because that is their God with a little G.
God really pressed on his heart. You need to go back to the girl that you had that abortion with, and you need to apologize to her. And you need to apologize to her face to face.
Fetus phobic is someone who is afraid of the natural consequences of heterosexual sex and is terrified of a preborn child, of a little baby.
And I like to say that Roe v. Wade is the story or the court case everyone has heard of, but nobody knows anything about.
Governor Walker, thanks for being here.
Great to be with you. I should say it's a pleasure for me to be here.
I think Rush is doing that too. And he's basically saying, look, I may be dying, but I'm not dead.
Dr. Alveda King to Fide's podcast. Dr. King, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Jerry, and hello, everyone.
But they have an objective. The objective is more tax money, more control, and a promotion of a political ideology. It's a pro-socialist, secular worldview.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of Fide's podcast. My name is Jerry Serino, and I'm your host, and I'm here with talent on loan from Rush. Hey, what is the status of Black America in the abortion issue? It obviously is impacting Black America much harder than it is the rest of America. Life is life, and that is certainly the case, white or Black, male, female. But certainly there are unique aspects of the pro-life and abortion industry in regards to the Black community. So I'm very honored to have with me today Walter Hoy. Walter is the is a part of an organization called Issues for Life. Walter, thanks for joining me today.
Jerry, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Absolutely. So tell me about Issues for Life. Tell me about the foundation, what you do, and how you help out there.
The Issue for Life Foundation focuses on reaching Black leadership, and that's really almost our exclusive focus, with the message of life. And if you know anything about the pro-life movement, that's a whole ball game by itself.
I actually first heard you at the Bringing America Back to Life conference here in Cleveland, and I went back and I listened to your talk with my good friend, Pastor Moss, Walter Moss. You guys spoke together. Love him.
Yeah,
I think I like his wife better, but although it's hard because they're both great people. You started off in your talk and you talked about something called the echo effect. Explain that.
Well, ordinarily, for the most part, the focus has been on the numbers surrounding Black America and abortion, and our numbers are so disproportionately high. Well, I got a little deep into that, and I went as far back as the 1800s. I found a document from the United States government. It's very rare, very difficult to get, but we were able to get it. And it detailed the total fertility rate for Black America as far back as 1850. Now, for those that don't know, the total fertility rate simply says that for any demographic, for any group of people to continue to exist, every woman has to have at least 2.1 child. That's what they call the replacement level. You don't grow any larger, you don't get any smaller, but you maintain where you are. Well, back in 1850, the total fertility rate for Black America was 7.9. My goodness. And then it went down 100 years later to 3.6. Then around Roe v. Wade, we're looking at, 2.3. I mean, it's getting lower and lower. And ultimately, if you take a look at our total fertility rate today, we've fallen below 2.1. We're now currently at 1.7. Now that's disaster. Now what bothers me the most is that 1.3 is what the experts call irreversibility. In other words, that's a level that is so low that it's impossible. There's no economic model that will allow you to come back up to 2.1 or continue to exist. And at this point, Black America is at 1.7, so we're dangerously close to irreversibility.
It's a really great point. I want to go over those numbers real quick again, because it's hard for people listening to, you know, remember the numbers. So back in the 1800s, so this, is that correct? Late 1800s, it was 7.9% was the fertility rate.
1850, 7.9. And I thought that number was low, to be quite honest with you. I've known much bigger families than that. And it's always been, at least in the past, it was such that Black Americans had large families and everybody knew that. So when I saw 7.9, I thought that was kind of low personally.
That's right in target for me. We have 8, so I'm just above that, just above that. And that's abnormal for us, obviously. But it's gone down for 3.6, 2.3, and then 1.7, which is getting dangerously close to the irreversible level. And it's really a shame, obviously, because, you know, large families are a good thing. I mean, we have 8, as I just said, but if you have 4, if you have 2, that's fine. You know, everyone has their certain situations, but it also shows, I think it shows the value of family when you have fertility rates that are higher versus so much lower. Obviously there are reasons behind the decline. What do you see are the top reasons for that decline?
Well, unfortunately, Black America, particularly the Black American church, has embraced abortion. Now, that's nothing new per se, but when I look back at where we were, if I go back to 1850s, oh my goodness, and I can clearly see where we were, at least family-wise. And then if I come all the way up to 1965, I mean, we've got Cecil Moore, president of one of the most influential chapters, NAACP chapters in the country. He's president of the Philadelphia chapter. And this is his quote. He says, "Planned Parenthood's plan is replete with everything the Negro needs to commit race suicide." So even in the mid 60s, we knew what the birth control was all about. But in 1967, 2 years later, Planned Parenthood would go on to establish legal abortion in 3 states, Colorado, Mississippi, and California.
Yeah, that's such a shame. I think it's important to note that 2 things that maybe you can comment on. But the first one is that the fertility rates that you were talking about, the 7.9, was back at the time of slavery or just post-slavery. So, and even after slavery, obviously this country wasn't the best of places for the Black community, but even with those struggles, they maintained strong families. And it's only in the more recent decades that it has declined so much. And it has also for the white families as well, it has gone down. But you also talk about, you mentioned Cecil Moore, that you also talked about in your talk that the first the first Black organizations were all pro-life. Did I say that right?
Almost.
Almost.
The very first pro-life groups in the country. I mean, if I put the Catholic Church to the side, their doctrine is pro-life. There's no doubt about that. But if you're looking at just organizations, the first pro-life organizations were Black Americans. We're talking about, oh my goodness, the Nation of Islam, Farrakhan. He may be a lot of things. There's no question about that, but he is pro-life. And then number two, the Black Panthers at the time were pro-life.
Yeah. And that's, I bet a lot of people didn't know that. That was really interesting to me when I heard you say that I didn't know that. So I guess that, you know, the question becomes is, as you said, that Cecil Moore in 1965, the head of the NAACP in Philadelphia, knew what the goal was of Planned Parenthood, knew what abortion was doing or was going to continue to do in the Black community. Yet every NAACP chapter, certainly the national national chapter, all support radical pro-abortion candidates. And I believe they have a pro-abortion stance, correct?
Yeah, there's no question about it. They do. They actually fight for abortion. And unfortunately, that's a reality of today. And it's one of the reasons why we at the Issues for Life Foundation, we focus on Black leadership.
What do you think the reason is? And maybe this gets a little bit complex. Are the NAACP and these organizations are they more into politics? Do the other issues, are those other issues that they apparently like within the Democrat Party more of interest to them? What do you think it is?
Well, I mean, this goes back quite a bit. Let me correct one thing you said. 1850, we were right in the middle of slavery in 1850. Yep. Well, it's not post-slavery, it's right in the middle of it. And two, you can see our values have changed dramatically from 1850 to 1965. You're looking at our values have changed bit by bit by bit. And unfortunately, Margaret Sanger's Negro Project was back in the early 1900s now, was more successful than we like to, you know, give her credit for. During her Negro Project, not her white project, her Asian project, Hispanic project, but her Negro Project, bought Black leaders from around the country. The idea was that children cost too much money, have less children, and your money will go further. And we bought into that birth control. Of course, birth control wasn't getting the job done as fast as the eugenic community wanted. So sure enough, in 67, we got legalized abortion. Oh my goodness. And we've just gone downhill since then.
Part of in your talk, you also talked about, I think someone had asked a question even about how to reach Black leaders or Black church leaders. And you talked about something called the betrayal trauma. Can you explain that?
Yeah, back in 2011, I have been asked, you know, why are so many, you know, why are Black Americans supporting Black American leaders, particularly supporting abortion? And I wrote a series called Betrayal Trauma. And it's on my website, my library. It's back at 211. It's a 7-part series. I'm writing to pastors, so I keep it brief. And I go through the series. The series is called Betrayal Trauma. Now, what in that series, I talk about in detail the 4 reasons why Black American leadership rejects the pro-life movement. And in essence, Jerry, when you understand why somebody is saying no, at that point, you have the best chance to form a strategy to get them to say yes. I'm saying no. You have no reason why I'm saying no. You're just guessing at it. And you're just hoping that, you know, what you say or communicate will get your point across. And it won't. It never does, because you don't really understand why I'm saying no. Well, we understand that the 4 reasons why Black American leadership rejects the pro-life movement, and when we can focus on that, oh my goodness, you know, the results are dramatic.
Yeah, that's excellent. So people can go find that on your website, correct? If they want to find that article and read all that.
Yeah. Just go to issuesforlife.org, and up on the right-hand corner, you see library. And on the first floor of my library, you'll see Foundation Newsletter Archive. Just go to the archive. And if you go all the way down to...
So I have the site up here. I see that the glasses are a trademark for you. You look great in them. This is the website. So this is issuesforlife.org.
Thank you.
Yeah, really great site.
Thank you.
Yep, excellent website. Lots of great articles. I went through it myself, and there's so much there. I couldn't get through everything in this, but it's a really great website. So you know, please head to that as well. So I want to talk to you a little bit about the state of the life movement today. One of the things I like to always ask those that are on our side and fighting for life is, you know, you think in a lot of ways, if we just think logically, and I don't know that we can think logically about the other side, but as science has come out in medicine, and we know that a baby, it has its own unique DNA, they feel pain, they move heartbeats, and we can see the heartbeats on ultrasound and things like that, you'd think logically the pro-abortion side would start backing down or start meeting halfway, at least at the very least, you know, agreeing to limitations. What in reality, what we see is they have gone beyond. They have said, you can kill a child after it's born, if it's born alive. We know Governor Northam in Virginia said that out loud. Barack Obama is in the Senate, in the state Senate, refused to support a Born Alive Act, and so did other Democrats, even now. Do you think that we can defeat these people when they don't compromise, they go even further?
I think we can. We're going to have to take a look at our strategies. For the most part, there are incremental strategies, you know, those that you do one step at a time, one bite at a time, and eventually you'll eat the whole elephant, you know. That's good. But those aren't necessarily game-winning strategies. Strategies that are just designed to win. Nothing incremental about them. And so let me give you an example. If we were going to win World War II, and we did, you'd have to go to Germany. You'd have to get to Hitler. It'd be nice to go other places, and we did, but the goal has got to be to get to Germany, get to Hitler. That's how we're going to end World War II. Well, there's some strategies that the pro-life movement focuses on, but they're more incremental strategies. They're not necessarily game-winning strategies. And I think that's part of the problem that we're facing today.
Yeah. Do you think some of it is the weak sort of linguine-spined politicians on our side that don't want to take a stance? I won't name any names, but they're out there.
Oh, let me go on record. I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
And you're being nice.
Yeah. Right? Okay.
Oh my goodness. Don't get me started. But yes, to answer your question, yes. That is a big, big part of the problem.
Okay, I thought so. So let me take one more area that I maybe you'll let me know if you agree. I think actually I'm not someone who ultimately I want to get to a point where we're not talking about Black America, White America, Hispanic. We're all human beings. We're not trying to save Black lives. We're saving all lives. I know why we're focusing on Black lives and things like that in this case, because they're being targeted. But do you think that the African-American community is being targeted by the left so strongly now because they know that if the Black community turned away from the Democrat Party would be essentially over?
Yes, I do. The Democrats have always known that deep down inside, we're Republicans. I mean, if I want to go back in history, you can read it for yourself. Every Black person in America was Republican. At one point, every last one of us were. Why? Because we knew that the Democrat Party was the party of the Klan, no doubt about it. So you look at our first congressman, our first senator, all Republican, all Black, everything on the Republican side of the fence. Now, things that have changed dramatically. But yes, to answer your question, we are being targeted. Yes, they know that if we ever move back to where we were, which I'm hoping, praying, and working towards, they know the Democrat Party's done. And thus, there's so much emphasis placed on race and race politics. I want to agree with you on this as well. We're one blood. That's the biblical model. We're all human, but there's really just one blood, one race, the human race.
I love how you said that at heart, the Black community as Republican. You know, I have always seen the Black community as a very, very family focused community, even though the family structure has been hurt by, in my opinion, by the welfare state and things like that. They're also a very, very religious group, very God-fearing group, in spite of all the challenges that Blacks have gone through. I'm a big, big fan of Thomas Sowell, who writes about and talks about how at the time of slavery, post-slavery, literacy rates were very high among Blacks. Unemployment was very low, even among Blacks during those times, and including Jim Crow, right? Families were together. People, Blacks were getting educated at very high rates, even at times where it was legal to be racist. And I agree with you that I think that it, at their heart, the Black community as a whole is conservative. Am I right or wrong on all that?
No, you're absolutely right. At one point, we'll go back in Black history, we didn't care if the white man ever stopped being racist. I mean, you know, it'd be great if he did, but that wasn't gonna hold us back. His racism or his problem, that wasn't gonna hold us back. We were taught that if we live the biblical model, if we live life God's way, if we embrace God's word, in other words, if we waited to have sex till we are married, if we put a ring on her finger and marry her, if we raised a family, if we went to school, learn how to read, learn how to write, or learn some sort of vocational skill where you could put your business together, if we did that, we would be successful. God would bless us. And oh my goodness, there are so many examples of that. One of the most popular examples is Black Wall Street. And I could almost just drop the mic on that one. Extremely successful. Awesome.
Yeah. And there are so many examples. I mean, if we really, I think, taught history how we should, we would be talking about the so many successful Black people, even back at times where you would have never imagined it. There was a Netflix series on, and I forget her name off the top of my head because I'm just thinking of it, but she became a multimillionaire selling cosmetics back in the early 1900s, right? And she started from nothing. So it's really, to me, it's a great story, the Black experience, a great story of rising sort of from the ashes to greatness. And I feel like that it's turned the opposite way, not because of conservatism or racism, but because of liberalism.
Oh, absolutely. You got to get to the point where you realize that if you have a problem, whether somebody else solves their problem has no impact on your problem. You got to deal with that yourself. So if we're going to continue to focus on white America, we'll never be able to deal with the problems that clearly exist in Black America. And so our problems will never go away. Again, that's not a biblical model.
Right. Yep. Absolutely. Well, this has been really enjoyable to talk to you. So again, if we could remind everybody where to find you and how to support your organization. And if you're looking for a great speaker, I could speak from experience that that Walter is a great speaker. You could find him on Molly Smith's podcast From the Median as well, that where his speeches that he gave with the great Pastor Moss. So how can people find you and support you?
One, tell Molly and Walter I said hello. Walter and Lori love them.
Yep.
Two, they can find us at Issues, and that's plural, Issues, the number 4, life.org. Everything you need is right there.
Well, this has been a real pleasure talking with you. I really enjoyed it, and you have such great insight, and you're doing such great, great work. And that is extremely important. So I thank you for it. And I thank you also for coming on my show today.
Hey, I really appreciate it. I love what you're doing. And I want to make sure that we continue to work together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah, it's been a pleasure. Hopefully we get a chance to meet in person when things are getting back to normal, hopefully at a conference or something like that.
Sure, so hope
so. Yeah, absolutely. So, well, thank you again, Walter Hoy from Issues for Life. Please go to issuesforlife.org. Check out, it's really a great website, and you could, it's proof here that Walter Hoy wears his glasses like this all the time. It's on his website and it's in person. So it's a great look. You look like you could be a jazz musician if you weren't doing this.
You know, I'll have to tell you why I do it. This is actually from when I was on a public sidewalk in front of an abortion clinic. That's another story, but we can talk about that sometime.
Oh, that's great. That's cool. Yeah, that's really great. So yeah, so please go to issuesforlife.org. Please support this great organization. Learn more about it. Get involved if you can as well. So again, Walter Hoy from Issues for Life, thanks for being here. And thank all of you for being here for this episode of Feed Ace Podcast. I appreciate it. Please catch me on all the different podcast apps that are out there, YouTube, Rumble, and on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on writeamericamedia.com. I play some of my video podcast, so please check it out there. So thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time. It's the same story.